So I don't know if it was there or not, but can you hear me?
What?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you here.
Okay.
Yes, of
okay,
course.
Okay, and yeah, so it's like the only thing would
that's,
be like
that's
just...
That's cool?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So like, and just be intimate with the mic. You can be
that's
intimate
cool?
with it. Yeah, it's like you can just get as close... You can like, you know, just get on top of the mic.
Like,
just
get on it.
Yeah,
jump on
just,
it.
Yeah.
Ride it.
Well,
basically, that's what you're telling me.
No.
I mean,
just saying
that's
you can't.
You're just saying like you can get as close and
as
intimate with.
There's
the,
no limit.
That's
with
what
the mic. It's not a.
That's what I'm
just
saying.
Don't be scared. It's like
okay,
and especially like okay, I should say welcome to the show, everybody. We're in a horse bar in Berlin, in Neukölln. Neukölln. I always butcher that, even though I've lived here for a while. We're So episode, if I'm counting correctly, it's episode 19, and we were just talking about microphones.
Microphones, yes.
Did we?
If you could hear me breathing, or
right, that was what it was.
If you could hear me breathing.
Yeah. So
or like tips as yeah. to like reduce the sound.
Exactly, and so basically the idea is that we're in horse bar and there's music, so you know you really can't get too close to the mic because you want. You know, so if you cough, you know, obviously just turn your head away. Anyway, I think
okay,
we don't have to talk too much
I'm
more
learning.
About that. Yeah, this is, but I think, we should just jump into it. As you, well, I should tell you, this is, now you can definitely hear that, the corn nuts cracking in my mouth. That's probably not a good idea. So this is episode number two. No, sorry.
Well,
the Spectrum number two.
Yeah.
The
number
Spectrum
two,
number
yeah.
two, episode 19 of Voices from the Dark.
Right.
But it's the Spectrum number two. I'm really glad that we're here again with Neo.
Hi.
She's, I mean, it's like sort of like a co-hosty vibe going. And yeah, I'm happy to be doing a second Spectrum, you know, second politics.
Yeah.
Sort of series. On
we're
the,
always
on the
living
podcast.
In politics, so.
I mean, it gets rough. It's but and actually, that's something that I wanted to talk about a little bit is the type of show that this is. It's not like we're here to talk about how fucked up Trump is or how insane Putin or however you want to say it. We're not talking about like our positions necessarily on things. But like I think Trump is an asshole. But like that's not what this is about. It's about education, and obviously, we mentioned this idea quite a bit in the first episode of the Spectrum, but I also just wanted to maybe even like figure out why we have decided to do that. Like, I think for me, I know some answers to that.
Mm.
And maybe Neo, you could say also, but you know, I don't know. What do you think? Like, should we be talking about positions on issues?
Well, I mean, I think it's good to start with the just a foundation. Like, I think that's the idea of, or your idea of what you wanted to accomplish with this podcast. To think, just to lay a foundation of different types of political systems, but also economic systems, because they intertwine with one another.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a good starting point, because I think if we just jump into the political fray, it just becomes like a circus. And I think then it helps to gather, your own positions and then like other people's positions and place them somewhere in some type of framework. Because I just think, I mean, I'm engaged on like talking about politics with people I know, like face to face or online, like my friends on social media.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just think oftentimes it doesn't go anywhere because I don't think people, it's not a debate forum. I'm not saying this is a debate, but
yeah.
You know, in a debate, there's like guidelines, there's parameters, and you have positions. And I think then the idea is to then explain a concept or, you know, a construct and then, you know, present it and then go from there. So it's kind of like a for dummies. I mean,
yeah.
Because, like,
well, I'm
just,
definitely a dummy.
No, I mean, for laymen. Like, for
yeah,
me,
yeah,
I
exactly.
just think it's a. We're not debaters.
Yeah, we're not. Know? We're not the people. I mean, listen, like, it's a democracy, so we're the people who are making the decisions should be us, obviously,
right.
But...
We're not policymakers either, so that's
yeah,
the point.
Yeah, we're also
you know?
Not policymakers, and I'm definitely not going to be, like, going... I mean, not at this... Not in the next couple of weeks, at least. I'm not going to, like, you know, write any letters to any congressmen or congresspeople. I could, yeah, obviously. And you know, maybe that's something that, you know, and I think that, like, to go on to continue, to add to what you said, it's like, I don't even know what the hell to say
right
to anyone about anything. Like, I have my opinions, but it's also like, I think I've said this before, like, I don't agree with 90% of what I say.
I like that.
It's like, it's crazy.
I don't think I remember 90% of what I exactly. say, but probably it's, like, it's the same thing. Like, what? I said that?
So for me, it's like, I'm definitely like you are, maybe you're more engaged or less engaged than I am, but, like, I don't think I'm so engaged, but I am to some degree.
I mean, the one thing I will say, not that it's in defense of people like Trump or leaders like Trump or Putin, is that I think that it's brought a lot of sleepy people into politics. I mean, I think it's brought people, you know, like, you can't hide from it anymore.
So what do you mean, like, sleepy
what
people?
What I mean by
I think
sleepy
I know what
people
you mean.
Is that I can only speak for myself or my own, like, my own perception of what I have seen in my life or other people, at least in terms of Americans, is that I think that a lot of Americans have been or were apathetic about politics.
Yeah.
You know, they only engage. They think, oh, okay, if I vote, I listen to the debates every 4 years, let's be honest, not even like midterm elections.
Yeah.
Then, like, let me just figure out who I'm going to vote for. And we only have two options. So, like, people don't really care. I mean, and oftentimes, I mean, I think one interesting thing about American politics is that we have two parties and people really, I mean, compared to, like, let's say parliamentary elections, they don't switch their votes, their ballots, like, every election cycle as they do in other systems. Like, at least in the U.S., people are really, like, sort of cemented in political parties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you're a Democrat for life.
Yeah.
So the point is, like, people don't really go back and forth or sway.
Yeah.
They do, but not as often as they do in other democracies.
I think I know what you mean. I think, like, what you're saying is, like, the people that do regularly vote are just cemented.
Right, they're cemented, just voting. It's just like going to, like, clock in. You want to go to work, you're just, like, clocking in, clocking out. Like, you know who they know who they're voting for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
And what do you think about, that's very interesting. What do you think about this large portion of the people that are, like, not
swing
voting?
Swing voter? Oh, okay. I was like,
no,
swing?
No, no. Just the people who don't vote, like, because they're obviously cemented in, like,
but
in
I'm
apathy,
not against,
you know?
Not voting. Like,
I'm not against it either, but I also think that, like, yeah, no, I mean, if that's your choice, that's your choice. It's
because
still a choice, though.
Yeah, because
it's
something
still a choice.
I see it as a choice. I mean, I see it, I can't quantify it, everybody who doesn't vote as making a choice, but I think that there's a percentage of people within that demographic that's an active choice. They're in, like, in some countries you can go and vote and put I choose neither or I choose none of the candidates. So we don't have that option in the United States where you can go and vote and say, I don't want anybody.
Mm.
I think it's actually useful because imagine we had that option in 2016. I think people would have gone, you would have had a larger share of people voting.
I think you
would see, because I think it's important to see where people are.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
are like.
That is so true.
You know, people are angry because it shows you that people are not, they're not disengaged. If you were to go out and vote and say, I don't want either one of these candidates, it's like, I'm here, but
I'm
here,
but I'm exactly, that is very
good. I don't like what's available.
I like that.
And I think that's important. I think it's too,
we should lobby for that.
Yeah, it's too easy to say. That's why I'm not for calling people out for not voting, because I think it's a choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely is
a
choice. It definitely is a choice.
It can be an active choice.
I mean, sometimes it's not. Like, some people just don't even know, like, what that means. Like, what does it mean to vote? Like, oh, there's voting?
Yeah, but there's a lot of obstacles, I think, in the United States people don't realize. The fact that that impede us from voting. The fact that we vote on Tuesday is ridiculous.
Like, that is, or at least should be a holiday.
You know, look,
if it's on a Tuesday, it should be a holiday, right?
But it's supposed to be a holiday. It's a holiday for public... I think it's a public holiday. So, like, schools are closed. We never wondered why when we were kids.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You know why it's closed? You know why schools are closed? So that people can, they use the schools.
Well, yeah, that's true. In New York,
to vote.
At least in New York, they do.
No, I think it's all over the country.
Really?
But that doesn't mean that people don't work. And then they still have to find a way to, like,
well, yeah, some people have to work on a holiday.
And they're like, I have to go drop off my kids and do this. And like, I mean, again, I'm always coming back to Germany, but they vote on Sunday.
I mean, it makes sense.
It would also increase, it's an easy way to increase voter turnout with no money involved.
Yeah.
So why don't they do that?
I mean, these are all good ideas. Maybe we should actually make it happen. I don't know. How does voter registration
is BS.
I mean, I just read some fucked up articles, man.
It's
today.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Like they deregistered a bunch of people who had like a mistake in their name or some shit. Like
I've been deregistered.
Joe Beth.
Yeah.
And instead of, or Mary Beth or whatever, is supposed to be spelled with a hyphen or a space, and it's like not spelled the right way, and it's like, but it's the fucking person.
Right.
It's
so
like,
I mean, I think we could also talk about voter disenfranchisement that happens in the United States. Not that in terms of just the day of voting, that's an easy way
Super
to increase
easy.
Voter turnout. And then just voter registration is a crazy concept for like my husband. He's like, I don't understand why it's so difficult to vote. He's like, I can just walk
just
in.
Be automatic.
He's like, I just walk. I went with him to the to vote. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't vote, but I wanted to see what it was about. It was so easy. It was so calm. There were no lines. I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
And then also, even the idea that felons can't, like, former, like, felt like...
I really hate that law. That's a
that
sick
if
law.
If you pay the... Okay, if you do the crime and you pay...
And you do the time.
Then you, like, essentially, then you should be... You,
back.
You want them to become productive members of society.
They call it rehabilitation, or they say that they claim, or they claim that these are systems of rehabilitation, but they're just looking at that law alone it's clearly not.
But it's also incentive to imprison people.
Yeah, because you're taking away their right to vote.
Yeah.
It's like if you see somebody you don't want their vote, you don't want them to vote
or
the way they're going to vote.
Of people, I mean,
like minorities and stuff like that. But it's like,
just
based on that law. But I think that's the thing. You know, I feel like this podcast is definitely there's space for all this stuff. It's one thing that I would have to say is like, it's like you and I probably agree on like the vast majority of our issues. But like, what if there was a guest, you know, and the two of us are sitting here, and this guest is like maybe a little right wing,
right?
And it's like, and it's the two of us and this person,
right?
It would be unbalanced somehow. But also, I don't want to necessarily entertain all ideas because I don't want to talk about.
I think we should entertain all ideas. I mean, in the sense of...
Really?
What I mean by entertain
all
ideas...
No.
Entertain them by... Well, not
I
ideas.
Don't
I don't mean ideas, but I mean ideologies. Let me put it that way, because I think ideas, that just is blah. It's just like anything that comes out of my mouth is an idea.
Yeah,
is that really an idea? I mean...
Oh, well, okay. I see what you're saying.
But I mean that, like, there are, like... I don't want to say theories, but, like, hypotheses that have somehow tried... Like, have been tested... Maybe partially confirmed, maybe not. But that's important because you need to test
true
thought.
You're
you
right.
You know, like, and but this is why. Oh, they're playing. Is this Portishead?
Sounds
Sorry.
Like Portishead. No, that's Sorry. Cool. Yeah, we can wait. We can take a moment.
I haven't heard this in ages. Yeah,
it's great.
It's nice. But this is why I like the idea of laying out a foundation of like political systems and economic systems, because then. Then you can have a productive, constructive, hopefully, discussion. If the if the other side or dissenting opinion or side
let's just say, because my idea is like, what if it was a Nazi guy, like a Nazi?
I would listen to but that's like an IFD member. Am I going to sit here and say that?
No, I'm saying like okay.
Yeah, IFD,
that's a good difference.
I'm using
IFD
as an example because
a good example.
They're like in the we can't. Delegitimize them. They're in
the government.
They're in the parliament, so they have more power than we do. So,
but what if there was like, okay, so if
but
it
I
was
have
the two
to be able
us,
to do that. I
right.
have to be able. Like
yeah,
I
yeah,
think
definitely.
I, so
yeah,
like I, if we want to
yeah,
have
you're right.
if we really want to get somewhere, we have to be able to have a discussion or debate with an opposing
even extremist views.
I'm not saying somebody who's spitting on me, but somebody who
well, yeah,
is,
that would be difficult.
That's not a debate. I'm saying right. that if they can come and defend their viewpoint or ideology with theories and not just talk just rhetoric, I just all then I think we can have a discussion. Like,
okay,
the thing is when I
you're
when
more fair than I am.
No, I mean,
I think
the thing is when I find that when I'm reading
maybe,
like articles like, yep. again, like I'm writing my thesis, when I'm reading articles that piss me the F off,
yeah,
I actually it like I don't know, it like ignites me because I think it drives me. I think those are really important points that you shouldn't like let go.
Mm.
You know, I think just because you come to a point of contention doesn't mean that it's like you run away like yeah. oh we can't get anywhere. I think that's where you grow, whether or not I win the argument, but I think that it tests you
yeah.
and it tests the like robustness of your you know whatever theory whatever
or your ideology
point,
it tests
you need
everything
to be
yeah.
tested otherwise yeah. I don't think just talking to people who are confirming what you have to say is
yeah.
pushing you anywhere.
Yeah, I definitely see
again,
where you're going.
I'm not surrounding myself with IFD members.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, that's not happening.
But it seems like you're prepared for it. If there was a AFD guy somewhere around,
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I hope
for
that
me,
I can
for
be
all of us,
prepared,
yeah.
and also I hope they step to me. I mean, in
Ooh,
that
well,
sense,
yeah, well.
Because I think it's important for them to be challenged as well. It's just, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they definitely need to be challenged more than
but
most
I need
people.
To be I think.
Yeah, we all do, but
yeah,
I think
but
that.
But
they mean, and the reason why I say I think that some like an AFD member would. Need to be challenged more. It's because they are not challenging themselves, like how you're
yeah,
saying that you're trying to challenge yourself.
Me.
You feel me on that?
I'm not saying that I'm like amazing, but I just what I'm to bring it back into
but
the
you're
American
context. That's the thing.
Text. I don't think. I think a lot of self, like
analysis or whatever.
Identifying liberals are not challenging themselves.
Yeah.
Either.
Oh yeah. For sure.
So that's
right,
what I'm
definitely.
Saying. That like I'm saying in the American context, I think we're at a point where a lot of people on. Both sides are not challenging their
yeah.
views.
Yeah. Without a
and
doubt.
How are we supposed to move forward? Again, I don't. That doesn't mean I have tolerance.
I totally get what you're saying.
But
I get that. It's like you're able to, you know, separate. I mean, which is sort of like what you're talking about.
You
like
know?
This sort of this the spectrum is doing just that. Which is separating the structure from the opinion. It's like we're not going to say that we're going to tolerate Nazis, but we can also imagine sitting here with one
but
and
there
having
also
a,
might be
a conversation.
A flaw in their structure that they are painting. So if they
yeah.
have this foundation that they've laid out, and I'm like, well, that doesn't. If there's like a flaw or a fallacy inside,
yeah, oh.
like within this structure, then if we lay out a foundation of different systems, then we can pinpoint that and say, okay, I understand your viewpoint.
However,
there's some, you know, there's a gap or something that I
yeah.
think is missing, or I don't agree with this because
yeah.
this is not here. Or
right.
no.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. But, yeah, and in the end, you know, if the goal is whether or not the goal would be to make the person who has that flaw in their structure realize it, or not, you know, whether that is the goal or not, it doesn't really even matter, because at least we, as the person who's
yeah.
as the people who are like analyzing it, we at least can like identify these things for ourselves, even if it doesn't
right.
change for,
yeah,
for
yeah.
them.
But I think if everybody then had a clearer foundation, then I think then we would have more constructive debates.
Well, that's the whole thing about science. It's like getting everything onto paper somehow, you know. It's
right.
like get
onto
it on
paper,
the record,
on
you know.
Paper. Because
yeah.
the thing is, I'm saying all
of
this
right
and I sound really structured
yeah.
and I'm not, but when I talk, I'm not structured. I mean, I'm not. I really am not.
I don't know.
But when I'm writing,
I'll tell you in 10 episodes what I think about that.
But I'm just saying that I'm much clearer in writing.
Oh, yeah.
That's just,
I think that's natural. Because you have more time.
Yeah, you have more time.
So. It's a medium thing.
Right. So
I'm a terrible speaker.
Oh, I'm a terrible speaker.
Because, like, I don't know. Like, especially when I, like, look at the recordings of these things, it's like...
Or I think, sometimes I think...
Yeah, you go backtrack on yourself and it's like...
Well,
yeah,
I think faster than I speak, which, and I think I already speak fast, mm, which doesn't make, which just makes it terrible.
It gets chaotic.
You know? Anyway.
Well...
Now we're just lamenting.
I think that was a good 20-minute intro that we did. Because we haven't even gotten to, like, what we're talking about yet.
Okay.
Like, right, today, I guess...
Right. Focus.
Yeah, no, okay,
I mean,
so...
That's for me.
Well, that's for... I can use it as well. No, but it's good because, like I said, and we've talked about, I think there should be space for all this kind of talk. And right, even at some point, maybe we'll, like, tell our opinions. Could happen. Who knows? Maybe we'll even have a debate on the show. But it'll be, like, once a year or some shit like that. No,
it'll be, like, the annual state of the debate. Like... Debate of the state.
Debate of the state.
Like, oh, yeah. I was trying to do a state of the union type of thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Debate of the state.
Yeah, that's the thing with me. It's like, I don't know. I can come up with, like, funny things like that. But sometimes you're also just like, wait, no. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, so the topic of... I guess I'm going to eat one of these corn nuts, but it's going to be loud, so
disclaimer.
Yeah. This episode is sort of supposed to be... I just wanted to recap on, like, what the first one was about. Basically, if you listened to it, it was about socialism. I think we did a pretty good job of saying, you know, like, this term socialism is at the very least problematic in the way we use it.
It's social democracy.
And it's social. It's probably social democracy. And actually, I have another guest who I would like to do, maybe like the three of us.
That'd be cool.
And I actually wanted him to come tonight, but it didn't work out. I might do a separate episode with him, but I think that, like, my instinct is to do the three people speaking, and he is, like, probably, aside from, like, my friend Joey Steele, who's an actual communist, this gentleman is also, like, yeah, probably the only communist I know. I mean I think he's a communist. I'm actually probably maybe labeling him right now incorrectly. Maybe he's not a communist, but in any case, I think he's definitely a socialist. But he's, like, one of the... I think he's quite active.
Yeah.
So it'd be very interesting to get his, like, perspective on this
cool
socialism topic. We're not going to talk about socialism today, but it's, like, I just wanted to mention it, that that's, like, where we were. I was thinking we can talk about capitalism today, but I think maybe even more general and possibly something that we can, like, really establish or use... We can establish it in this episode and then kind of use it even like for many, many episodes.
Yeah.
It's basically, and also it's the kind of name of the show, the spectrum, the political spectrum, which is this left-right.
Or political orientation.
Or, yeah,
like that,
or this axis.
Axis.
Cause, okay, so I just want to so left-right, I Googled just now left-right spectrum. And Wikipedia has an article on it.
It's one of the variables I'm using in my thesis. So.
Oh, is it?
It's a control variable. Meaning you should, if you're looking at political, anything that's political based, you should look at how people are. So, like, where they subjectively put themselves. So it's an attitude.
So, like, a survey or something?
Yeah, I'm doing survey research. But, like, people will identify themselves on a, let's say, an 11-point scale. From, like, 0. Actually, I don't know why it's 11-point scale. From 0 to 10.
Spinal tap.
Don't ask me why.
Spinal tap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Spinal tap with the going up to 11. I couldn't even tell you. I think I might have seen, like, half of that movie, but that's, like, a classic. Anyway.
And, yeah, so people place themselves. But it's interesting because it's a subjective attitude or placement. It's not something...
Right. It's sort of the way you see yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's relative.
So maybe we should take a quick break. take a look at this Wikipedia article.
We're coming as experts. Hold on while we look at the Wikipedia article.
But you know what?
No.
I swear.
It's good.
No,
I like Wikipedia.
I love the way. I love the.
Hate it.
You know what I'm saying? It's just super. Just laid back, man.
Sources.
We're laid back.
You know?
Yeah.
But first of all, they give you sources. So.
Oh, you're talking about like Wikipedia. I'm just saying like how unprepared I am for this. It's like I'm gonna read this article for the first time right now.
I was clowning us.
All right,
in a different way, but anyway.
Yeah, but I think the sentiment is there. It's like, you know, we can laugh at ourselves. And honestly, this whole thing is just a learning process, and. So it should be educational for us, definitely for me, and the listeners, hopefully. So we're going to take a quick break, probably refresh the drinks. We are at Horse Bar in Berlin, and you might actually know this bar from episode number 18, where I had... Wait, is it 18? Yeah. Episode number 18, which was live on RBL Berlin at Labetto Lab. My guest was Dennis, and he... Dennis Arslan, and he is the owner of this bar. And so he welcomed me here.
Nice.
I've been here before.
And they have really great Belgian beer, which is my favorite. So
yeah, they have Belgian. They have this house market, this like Berlin beer.
And it's soundproofed.
It looks.
You see this?
Looks, yeah,
it's
I see
nice.
It. Yeah, it's
pretty
cool.
Perfect for
yeah.
a podcast.
Yeah. And yeah, so we're here. We're going to get some more drinks and. We're going to do some studying, or at least I am.
Cramming.
Got to cram for this exam. Oh, that rhymed. All right, so going to get some drinks and be right back. See you later.
See you.
Okay, we're back. We're just going to break off. Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay.
Just want to break off of this. Okay, this is the spectrum. Obviously, we're talking about politics. As you know, we just looked up some... political spectrum-y stuff.
Not on Wikipedia, by the way.
Not on Wikipedia. Some other web. What is it called? Factmyth.com. Amazing website. So, we're going to see Dave Chappelle. We're going to see him.
Yeah.
Evgeny is actually here. He's in Horse Bar with us now. He might not jump in to the podcast, but Neil was just about to recap...
Well,
for
they
Evgeny.
Asked me.
Evgeny asked. And actually, this actually is really, I wanted to actually mention it in the beginning of this episode because it's very, like, sort of top of my, I don't know, top of my, I just, no, my day or whatever. I just feel like, well, because the tickets we bought
today.
Yeah,
because exactly. They went on sale today.
Yeah, October 12th. And man, they were flying.
No, I knew from the first time that I was like, before my husband left, I was like, I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you soon. Yeah.
So you drank whiskey with Dave Chappelle.
Yes. I mean, it was... He performed here in February, or I think it was two... There were two shows. I know there were two shows. Maybe one was like January 31st, and the second one that I went to was February 1st. And I heard about... I mean, I heard that he was coming. I don't know. I think it was too late by the time I found out. And we were driving home at the time, listening to the radio for some odd reason, which we never do. And they were talking about, like, by popular demand, Dave Chappelle is going to have an additional show tomorrow at, I don't know what this, at Clutch Comedy Club.
Hmm.
And like, so we were like, what? Wow. We were just about, like, we were going home. So we were just like, we were parking. And so we're like, oh my God, so we found a parking space. Literally, we ran home, went on the computer and like, just to see if there were still tickets left. We got tickets, I'm not kidding, 15 minutes later, there were no more tickets.
Wow.
So we're like, okay, cool. Also, it was cool because it's a small venue, Clutch Comedy Club. And it's like a first come, first serve. Mm. Like, they basically just put us next to him. We weren't there. We weren't the first people there, but we just
they.
I don't know the like
they
ushers.
They were just placing. People
they just placed us next, so like we were adjacent to the stage, but we were on the same level as the stage, but off to the side.
Yeah.
but it, also it's a small place. So yeah, so like we could, you know, like, I don't know. I think he was at first like just trying to like get people to get on in on the jokes, getting some material. And I mean, the Germans weren't really up to his speed,
I can imagine.
So like he was like, this one girl, he was trying to make a joke.
Silver
with her,
Springs.
And she just could not, yeah, she could not. No, but I mean, it was like simple shit. I was like, come on, girl, get with it. And I was kind of like, girl, come on. And I guess I was talking loud. And he was like, what is going on here?
Oh, my God.
And then he was like, you. And then he was like, where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from New York. And then like, we just started talking. So, like, I even, he asked me where I went to school. I went to high school in Brooklyn. Where are you from? I was like, I'm from the Lower East Side.
You did you say Brooklyn Tech?
Yeah, I said Brooklyn Tech. Okay. I repped Brooklyn Tech, by the way. So we were talking about that. And then, like, you know, Trump came up and,
what?
Like, politics.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And also the Me Too movement came up. And also, like, a lot
he
of
he was kind of involved in
well,
some
not that,
shenanigans
but, like, the flack that he got for his comments about, like, transphobic. Like, he talked about that. And I thought it was really, like, important and also poignant. I think that he...
Do you know this? Sorry, I just
we're listening
to
music.
Yeah,
now.
They have a good selection of music.
Yeah, they have nice
tonight,
music.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was drinking, getting loose. It was like banter. And then he just got one of his like minions. He was like, "Yo, get her a drink, get her a whiskey, pour her a glass of whiskey." And I was like,
"That's crazy."
So then he gave me a glass of whiskey. We cheered, like we toasted in front of the entire audience.
And nobody got any video of this because they seal up your cell phones
exactly. Well, but
in a bag.
What somebody you know was there. Somebody posted.
The guy who I was saying.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's my proof.
Yeah. He's, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I never doubted it.
And so then he, like, honestly, he was, like, pouring me drinks.
That's crazy.
He would stop, pour me drinks. He was like, you're good?
I'm bringing weed to this fucking show because if he wants to smoke weed, I'm going to be, like, the first guy.
He was smoking weed. The thing was, so...
He smokes a ton of weed.
And
yeah,
also,
no, but what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm going to give Dave Chappelle a goddamn joint. If
he smokes
e-cigarettes the last thing I do.
On stage. But then my husband smokes cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but, like, he gave him a cigarette. And then I guess Yosha thought he could, like, have one, too. But then all of the people were like, no, you can't smoke. Like, Dave Chappelle can smoke, but you can't smoke.
Wait, so...
So it was like, whatever.
Oh.
So he didn't... No, I mean, Dave got to smoke, but my husband didn't get to smoke.
Oh, that's...
I mean,
that's lame.
Whatever.
That's lame as fuck.
I mean, he was okay with that.
But anyway. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
and
I'd
then he
okay
ended up,
so,
like, during the musical performance when Mos Def came, like, he sat by us. He sat on our at our table. He was like, are you good? Are you having a good time? You know? And he was like, can you see the performance? I was like, I'm good. I'm good.
Get the fuck out of here, Dave Chappelle.
He was so nice. I was like,
annoying me right now.
I'm dying. I'm good. he gave me the whole, but I still have the bottle. And we didn't, like, it's not done.
It says Dave on it.
I got wasted. I'm not kidding. I was completely wasted by the end of the night. Like,
crazy.
I came home. I was, like, slurring. But like in tears of joy, like, oh my God, I can't believe this, what happened. I called like my brothers, I called my mom, I called my best friend in California, I called my friend in Brooklyn. I was like, you won't believe it. I drunk, like, posted on Facebook.
Oh, that's too good.
It was insane. Good. It was insane.
Wow. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? You never know.
Who knows?
But anyway, I'm just going to
And it was great.
Yeah,
I mean,
enjoy
it. The material was fantastic as well.
Yeah.
But was it the material from his last special?
No, it wasn't. Okay. Actually, because that's... what I'm thinking is that it's going to be... I think I'm going to see some of the material because he was performing in Berlin, Paris, and London to test out material because he said that he was going on tour. He's going on tour with Jon Stewart. He's not performing here, but they're going all over. I think they're performing like tonight or tomorrow in Copenhagen. So it's a world tour. So he was testing out material for this tour.
Yeah.
But I don't really think he got through the material because honestly, we were talking for like half the show. like,
who knows?
He was asking me about education in Germany. Well, how did I come to Germany?
He was doing research.
Yeah, he was doing independent research.
That's crazy.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dave Chappelle is not, let's say, he's not relevant to politics, like you said. Me Too movement.
But I think he's a sociologist in a sense. I think
all comedians
is
actually
about
are
societies.
Yeah, without
so
a doubt.
I think it's relevant.
So we should probably get onto the topic here. So, factmyth.com has a nice little chart. They have a bunch of charts. So the main chart that we're looking at here is called the Left-Right Political Spectrum Explained, posted by Thomas DeMichel, on March 18th, DeMichel. And anyway, it's from 2016. And there is...
I was just looking to see if there was a source, but anyway...
Maybe at the bottom, I don't know.
Anyway, you gave the website.
Yeah, they. I think listeners can check it out, factmyth.com. It's recommended by Voices from the Dark. It's recommended by The Spectrum, by me and Neo. And
approved.
Maybe it looks very legit.
Don't make fun of
it. Oh, my God. we really need three mics here. So... Yeah, I mean, it says that it's the left-right political spectrum explained. Now, every left-right political spectrum that I've ever seen seems to have not just a left-right thing going on, but like, what do you call it? Like, yeah, is that what it is? Social.
I think so.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm just gonna.
It should be like. What we're seeing right here is it's basically a circle that is divided. In the middle and then in the middle again, so you have four quarters, and I think it should be like economical and social, I think, and then you have like left and right social and left and right economical. Yeah.
Hold on. So you take that mic and okay. I'll share this with him. So I'll just pass him the mic when he speaks.
All right, and from what I know, and I'm not. By any mean, any stretch of the imagination,
we're
like
giving disclaimers.
Educated in politics, but I think this is what it should represent. And from seeing this, I would say that it's more U.S. centric because you have here Hitler and Stalin, but all of the other figures are from the American, or maybe not, but. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was just like jumping to conclusions here. But anyway, I think it should be divided by social problems and economical problems in general.
Yeah, I think that maybe some of them are definitely divided like that. But the one on factmyth.com, I'm just going to say it again, the left-right political spectrum explained. It looks like it's got the left and right, which is I'm just gonna read it. I'll just read it.
So just read it.
It's left. So factmyth.com, the left part of the circle says basically that the left part is FDR, so Franklin Delano Roosevelt's social liberalism.
So that's the top left quadrant because it's divided into quadrants.
Yeah, but it's the top.
This one here. You mean
yeah, exactly.
One, right?
Yeah. So it's basically the top left quadrant, but closer to
it's
left.
Or
I don't know.
Line.
Well, I guess it's close. But I don't know. It's very strange.
I think that this is a futile. I think this is a futile attempt right now to explain
something that
just needs to be seen. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Yeah, he's right. So anyway, on the left, I'm just going to say it like how I think it should be read. On the left of this political spectrum, it has FDR's social liberalism and Madison, I guess James Madison. Madison's Democratic Republicans. So that's the left. And if you know anything about...
And Chomsky's social libertarianism and Stalin's communism.
Right.
So they're all left.
But yes. However...
I mean, they're not in the same... They're not all in the same, like, line.
Right.
But it's sort of left of that axis.
Yeah. So the most left is, I'm just going to use FDR because I don't really know that much about Madison's Democratic Republicans. So let's just say the most left that this chart goes is FDR's social liberalism. But then it's important to, and actually that's not true.
I think I understand what this is now.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you. I
understand what these quadrants are for. I think that it's right, and
yeah.
It's individualism is
exactly.
On the bottom.
Yeah.
Right, and then I think that the collective is on the top,
yeah.
And I think that's where you can see the differences.
Yeah. So that's the thing that basically I've left out, which you can't actually. So this is not a left-right spectrum. It's also got this other.
Right. Yeah.
Other what do you call it?
Axis.
Yeah, it's basically another axis. Yeah. So this is a left-right spectrum compared to and for lack of a better word, I'm saying it's compared to an authoritative versus non-authoritative
right.
axis. So this is an XY axis that is, X-axis is left-right, Y-axis is authoritative and non-authoritative.
Yeah.
So, and I think that one of us mentioned that the charts that are out there, these left-right spectrum charts, are always, there's always a y-axis that is adding another
and we never
level.
Talk about that.
Right, exactly. So it's like, yeah, exactly, yeah. Actually, that's one of the reasons why I think it's important, because it's like, we talk all the time, and you mentioned this on the break, Neil, like, we always talking, and actually, in the episode when basically Republicans are right, Democrats are left, so it's all like very relevant to everything that we've talked about, but we always forget to talk about the other axis. So left, right, honestly, and I had such a hard time describing this circle chart, whatever it is, because I was trying to talk about it without the other axis, with just referring to left and right, but you can't read this chart without looking at the y-axis. So you have to talk about authoritative versus non-authoritative.
But I think it would be interesting if people were to see something like this. I mean, and then maybe then have it be explained to them, and then they can see where they would place themselves. Because again, it's subjective. But if we're just focusing on a one-dimensional axis, as we do, I'm not so sure how constructive that is.
Yeah,
you know?
or even accurate. Like, so
yeah.
I think I'm gonna jump out. I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and say that we possibly have our first point that we can make in this episode. I mean, we made a lot of points in the first half, but in specifically referring to this left-right thing, is that talking simply about left and right is. I mean, you already said it. It's like useless. Like, you can't, and maybe, and tell me if you guys agree, you can't talk simply about left and right. You have to kind of have another criteria.
There's some dimension to it. It's not a one-dimensional phenomenon.
Can I just jump in? I personally don't like this whole division by left and right, because I don't think that it actually takes you anywhere. You have to speak about a problem, okay? As soon as you bring an actual problem to the table, like, what do you think about gay marriage?
Yeah.
Then you can have some idea where exactly you might fall.
Because it's like you're just saying an axis, but like, where is this
exactly,
point?
Exactly, exactly. Where the
right,
rubber hits
right,
the road. Like,
right,
where exactly do you stand here? And if we talk about some abstractions, like what is left, what is right, do you land on the upper...
Yeah.
Corner on the lower corner, it doesn't actually mean anything before you speak about something that is constructed in objective reality.
So it meaning that you have to place something, whether it's a value, an attitude, or behavior, within this.
Exactly.
It doesn't. It's useless
exactly,
without
exactly.
putting a phenomenon or a notion or like a norm. You have to put something there.
It's another criteria. It's
yeah,
another
yeah.
You can't element
just, like,
or
throw
factor.
Out
it's
left
factor.
Or right on the wall and see where it sticks.
Yeah, because if you think of yourself, I'm left or right, and you don't see yourself moving through these quadrants for different issues, then you're simply indoctrinated, okay?
And that's the problem.
You're indoctrinated. You're just like blindly following one particular type of way of thinking, and that's it. You're closed to all other aspects of discussion.
Right.
And I think that's a really dangerous place. Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. I think that's what people are doing more and more.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. definitely. Yeah. Because it's way easier.
It's easy.
It's easier just to grab and hold to an idea, and don't let it go. And as soon as the arguments against that idea starts hitting,
you just deflect it.
You're always reacting.
Right.
You're always reacting to that. You're not really trying to think past the problem. Like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Why am I thinking that?
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, okay, so you don't like me. Fuck you, I'm going to react to that, and that's it.
So,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with it as well, 100%. Although, even though I agree with it, I'm going to throw a wrench.
I just read something on factmeet.com. Although Steve agrees, he scrolled down on factmeet.com, and now he disagrees.
No. I still agree.
Busted.
I still agree. But since we are referring to this factmyth.com, they're going to love us after this. Factmyth.com, they're going to send us emails. They actually go and clarify the actual left-right thing without even referring to authoritative versus non-authoritative left-right. So, I mean, they do refer to it. But I'm just going to read it because actually it's quite clear. This is how it goes. The essential basics of left-right politics and left-right spectrums. In simple terms, favoring liberty, social equality, and the collective is left-wing, and favoring authority, social hierarchy, and individuals is right-wing. Meanwhile, the quote-unquote mean between is quote-unquote center-wing.
But doesn't that change all the time? That's the problem I'm having. That's why I agree with Yevgeny, because I think that you have to place a phenomenon, a value, a notion, like a behavior in the discourse of this. You can't just put left-right or authoritative, non-authoritative on the wall and see where it sticks, because I can just be in one place as statically. But I think what you're trying to say is that people move around based on issues and based on values. They move around the spectrum, circular spectrum. Right?
And what I mean is, this might be a little bit self-serving because I think like that, but if you don't move around, then you have a problem.
Yes.
I think that you have a problem if you don't move around, if something does not...
It's almost like fundamental. You're like a fundamentalist if you don't move around.
Exactly. I think that you might be stuck somewhere very, very badly if you don't move around in problems. But something that I want to ask here is that... All right, so left wing is... where is it? That left wing... hierarchy... liberty. So left wing is favoring liberty... But at the same time, right wing is favoring individualness. So how can an individual? How can you have a liberty if you don't have individual liberty?
Right.
That doesn't make sense in my opinion. That doesn't make sense. So I would say that liberty should be paramount, no matter where you land on the spectrum. No matter where, you should always aim for more liberty for the individual. And the more individual liberty you have, the more social liberty you would have general.
Are you saying that liberty and individual, not individualism, but that they're somewhat synonyms? Is that what you're trying to
say? No.
I don't understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that if we go with this definition that they just gave here, that right wing is more for the individuals and left wing vaguely is for liberty. How can you take the individualism out of the liberty equation? That's what I mean.
I agree with you, but that's what I mean.
I don't know how to decipher this.
And I don't know what does
liberty means? Favoring liberty.
What does that mean?
What does liberty mean?
That should be like another podcast.
I was just getting out my pink cards because I need to write this shit down, because that is another episode right there. Liberty, and then so I think. Yeah, all this... Okay, I just read the essential basics...
Sorry. I don't think it's... No, I don't think liberty is individualism.
No, no, no. That's Evgeny's claim.
That's not even my point. I'm saying that you cannot have liberty if you don't have individual liberty. You cannot have like a social liberty.
Yes. I see what you're saying. I see exactly what you're saying.
I don't know.
Because it's like, because it, to me, it has to do with like freedom to do something. So then if I have the freedom to do something, isn't that me as an individual?
No, but there's also liberty that doesn't actually have anything to do with individuals. There's other types of liberty that individual liberty. There's other types of liberty.
But I think that's something we should talk about because I think all of these terms are just nobody knows what they mean.
Yeah.
And yet they use them.
So this is perfect. This is perfect. This is perfect.
I'm free. So, I'm living. I have liberty to do what I want to do.
Yeah, but then in some way they're not free because of some other thing, you know? So it's like, it's almost like a, catchphrase. It's like a catchphrase. It's like, oh yeah,
I'm talking.
And then, nobody likes what I'm saying. Liberty! Right. And then everybody's like cheering. Oh, yeah, liberty! And so now you win the fucking debate. It's like... So I'm just going to do a little tiny recap of last episode to this episode. Basically, we went from socialism to the left-right spectrum. And now we're looking at words like liberty, individual, and social hierarchy, authority. These are all episodes unto themselves. So honestly...
Now we're getting into philosophy.
Well, I mean, politics.
But that's part of. But it's like political philosophy,
yeah,
which is an important aspect of politics.
I mean, in the end, this is Voices from the Dark, which is a podcast for philosophers, wizards, and totems. Did you notice that? Did you know about that?
What?
Do you know that it's a podcast for philosophers, wizards, and totems?
No. See.
What? That's like the basic. That's like the catchphrase.
It's all coming full circle. Yeah. You know.
It's our slogan. Or at least Voices from the Dark. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Again,
it's a podcast for the Medici in the 21st century.
Yes.
You got the catchphrase, man.
Very, very Machiavellian or whatever stuff going on here. But honestly, I think that we can't really talk about the so-called essential basics, according to factmyth.com. We can't really talk about the essential basics of left-right politics and left-right spectrums without first talking about liberty, social equality, the collective. It's like, what does that mean?
The concept of left-right as it's used in like common language.
Yes.
That's something.
That's true. That's true. We could talk about that.
I mean, that's not something that, like, I just think in general, I think we should reevaluate how we use left, right.
Yes.
And we use it so frequently and casually.
And
too casually. Yeah. And as you said, it's dangerous to always label yourself in one place. You're stagnant when there's many different phenomena and you have different opinions and viewpoints on them that may put you in a different place in this quadrant or...
Definitely. So I'm going to bring myself as an example because I only know myself, kind of. All right, so I am pro-gay marriage, all right? I'm pro-choice. I'm going to speak in U.S. terms, like this is like pro-gay marriage, pro-choice, but at the same time, I am pretty pro-capitalist. So where do I land in this what exactly am I? Like, am I a left wing? Am I a right wing? Like, what exactly is going on? Because I'm, like, socially wise, like for the most social questions, I would land more on the left. For the more economical ones, I would tend to be maybe on the right side of the spectrum. So I don't think that this, with the casualness that we speak left right, I don't think that I land anywhere at all if we are going to speak in this casual language.
Yeah, and that's exactly the problem. Thank you for putting yourself on the line there. You're sort of like a right-wing fanatic, obviously. I'm sorry. I thought that would have gone over better. He's not laughing. No, no, it's very true. I actually just wanted to take another quick break since we've discovered that we need to sort of get really way more detailed than this just like left-right spectrum. It's too vague. So I think that's an accomplishment in itself that we can say that and that like we know what the next steps are in terms of the podcast. So we're gonna take another quick break. I need to get a refill. I think Neo needs one. And then we can wrap up the show.
Neo needs some.
She needs one. and so then we'll come back and wrap up the show. Thanks for listening. We're back. So. There you go. So yeah, we're back. Just wanted to wrap up the episode by basically stating, you know, that we kind of had as an objective of this episode to discuss, to at the very least to discuss the left-right spectrum. And I think we got something really good out of it, which is that the left-right dichotomy is not sufficient. It's always got to be sort of, it's always got to have that other y-axis, which is some ideal or issue. I mean, I think that's
basically. And, yeah, just put, maybe look at that even just from like a, let's say step A, instead of just placing yourself on the axis, why don't you look at an issue or a feeling or like an opinion, a value, and then think about where you lie with that in regards to that issue.
Yeah.
And then do it for more than one issue. And maybe you'll see that you are all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that it's gonna be good for us to come back to this in the next episode, actually. And try to define one of these sort of, again, from factmyth.com, you know, just because that's what we're using right now. We can look at, like, liberty and individualism and things like that and try to see, like, what that all really has to do with left-right and what is left-right and, and just figure that whole thing out. So thanks to Dave Chappelle for coming to Berlin. Thanks to Evgeny for being here as our guest. And
thank you.
Thanks to Horse Bar for having some good tunes.
And for some good beer as well.
And some good beer. So this has been episode 19 of Voices from the Dark, The Spectrum, number 2. And, we'll be...
See you.
Seeing you another time.
We're out.
Bye.